George, Brad, Dirks, and Taylor. Only on 96.5 KECO.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's warm. Let's check out some temperatures. Looks like Buffalo, Freedom, Cherokee. You guys are the hot spot in the state right now at 98 degrees, 93 at Slapout, 91 at Guymon, 93 at Hollis, 93 at Hobart, 90 at Cheyenne, home with a secret weapon. And Putnam, you're 93 degrees. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, more of the same, 94 at Canadian, 89 at McLean, 93 at Wellington, 94 at Odell. Isn't that human nature? Like, I see 89 at McLean, it's like, whoa, it's cold out there, cool. But it's not. It's still hot. 89 is still hot. Not a lot going on today as far as any reports from my operations. Knutson Irrigation delivering me a bunch of pipe today. We're running a new water line out for some cattle. Got that going on. And other than that, just hot, dry, and getting drier. I think we're having our mid-July crisis, the end of July, but the mold crops are starting to turn and go backward, but that's all right. And today is Hay Day Tuesdays, brought to you by Great Plains Bank. I've got quite a bit of hay on the list for today. If you got any hay you're looking for or trying to sell, 580-225-9697 is free advertising. Guys, use it. 580-225-9697. Well, it's not really free. Great Plains is sponsoring it, but it is for you farmers and ranchers wanting to sell or buy some hay. Got some square bales in the middle of 99 to talk about today. Also, this for sale. That's one of the new ones. And last segment, we'll talk about that. And Brandon, I think he's coming on. He's driving. They're coming back from Sparta and from the trap mesquite shoots. And Oklahoma did very well. I think we got some national champions coming out of Oklahoma, a couple of them local kids. So excited about that. Maybe Brandon give us a little update on that if we get a hold of him. He said if he's in a traffic jam, he's not talking on the phone. So I don't blame him. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Wheat futures were under pressure in overnight trading amidst favorable weather in the U.S., and on harvest pressure as collection of the spring crop begins. Rainfall is expected today and tomorrow in parts of North Dakota, the biggest U.S. producer of spring wheat. South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, according to Commodity Weather Group, said in a note to clients, parts of the northern plains have 55% risk of wetter weather in the next 4 to 5 days. This will boost spring wheat plants that are already ready for harvest in the region. 1% of the spring wheat was already harvested as of Sunday, according to the USDA. That's down from the prior five-year average of 3%. About 49% of the crop was in good or excellent condition, down from 52% a year ago. The crop is expected to yield 49 bushels an acre this year, according to data from the Wheat Quality Council's annual spring wheat tour that rolled through North Dakota last week. North Dakota farmers last year harvested 59 bushels an acre from their spring wheat fields, according to data from the USDA. The U.S. average was 52.5 bushels an acre this time last year. 80% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was harvested at the start of the week, up from 73% a week earlier. Wheat for September dropped 7 cents to 531.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures were down a nickel to 521 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery fell quarter of a penny to 4.13¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery lost a penny and a quarter to $10.10¼ a bushel. Soy meal was up 20 cents to $2.79.50 a short ton, and soybean oil fell 0.05 cents to 55.94 cents a pound. Numbers. Mondays and Tuesdays are all numbers, people. Sorry. Inspections of corn and soybeans for overseas delivery were up while wheat assessments plunged, according to the USDA. Corn inspections in the 7 days that ended on July 24th was reported at 1.52 million metric tons. That's up from 984,000 tons a week before. Examination of soybeans for export increased to 409,714 metric tons. That's up from 377,000 a week earlier. And wheat inspections, meanwhile, dropped to 288,793 metric tons. That's down from 732,000 the previous week, and still behind almost 500,000 tons that was inspected last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 60.3 million tons of corn. And let's see here, 47.2 million metric tons of soybeans, and wheat, 3.31 million metric tons. So there you have it. Interesting, huh? Also, I hope my man from down there at Reed America, there in Greer County, old Scotty boy, hope he's listening today when me and Brandon and I talking. I have a Charlay joke. So we'll see how that works. Hey, all you other Charlay people, I'm not making fun of your cattle. It's only Scott's Charlay, okay? Just don't be offended. I've had Charlay bulls. I'm good. Don't worry. Scott, he just takes it to another limit. So I have to pick on him a little bit. Okay? So you guys got that going out. We'll have a... let's check out livestock auction report real quick before I go to break from Texas. How about that? Last week, according to the USDA, there was 4,881 head went through the sale barns in Texas compared to 3,600 the week before, but pretty much in check from the same time last year, 4,948 last year. Feeder cattle made up 84.4% of it. Slaughter cattle made it 12% of it. And replacement cows, cattle was 3.6% of it. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were steady to $3 higher. Demand was good on shorter supply, typical of summer runs. Scattered thunderstorms throughout the week has pastures in pretty good shape. And let's see here. Let's just check out a few things. Here's some thin-fleshed ones. Let's see what they were. These were 493 average weight, and they brought 406. These were thin. And then here's some 530 thin weights. Thin flesh. They brought 409 per 100 weight, and some fleshy ones that were around 778, 317.50 per 100 weight. And let's see here, big group, 234 head, the average 766, brought 345.25 on the average, and that was on the steers. Let's see what their mamas were bringing down in Texas to kind of compare what's going on up here. Looks like they're bulls. Let's see. Nope. There we go. There we go. Breaker cows. There's quite a few of those. Average weight was, on the average ones, was $14.49. $157.30 was the average price. And then boner cows were somewhere around anywhere from, trying to figure this deal out, $137.55 to $165.79 was the high. Average was $152.65, and the average weight was $11.70. Lean cows, 16 of them, $1,099, bought 128.70 on the average. And let's see here. That's about it, really. Oh, here we go. Bred cows. Found it. I found it. I finally found it. Bred cows were ranging anywhere from $2,750 to $3,400 was top end. And medium, that was the medium and large number ones. Medium and large number ones to twos were 2 to 4 year olds were anywhere from $1,750 to $3,500, average $2,150. So it must have been pretty A-OK cows. How's that? Okay. We're going to take a Stockman's Vet Clinic happy hour break. Stockman's Vet is closed this week. They're not taking any calls, they're not boarding anything. She is on a well-deserved vacation, just to let you guys know. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
My pawpaw started Hutton Inc. in 1983.
And now our uncle runs it just like pawpaw did.
We're learning the ropes, too, because this isn't just dirt work, it's family legacy.
From GPS-guided earthwork to excavation, house and building pads, topsoil and aggregate sales, drainage repair, forklift and manlift rentals, Hutton Inc. does it all.
3 generations strong, we move the earth and your future.
Call Hutton Inc. at 580-225-0225.
So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. Oilfield customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you. And take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, oil field or agriculture. You needed a hose like yesterday. We will stop what we're doing. And if we got to go to our Oklahoma City shop and get it, we'll do that. And I've done that for a lot of my customers. The business I've done with the oil field, they got to see your face, whether it's weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever the customer prefers, that's what we're going to do. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings. In the oil field, sometimes you get a call for a crazy, hey, can you get this? And you go find it for them. American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's.
Or call 303-1123.
Solves that problem.
When you're out working in the shop and the garage this summer, stay comfortable with a Portacool Apex Cooler. Napa Auto and Truck Parts in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton has compact spot coolers for the garage. They've also got high-powered units that cool up to 6,500 square feet. Each unit blasts cool air up to 60 feet and connects to your phone with the CoolSync app for remote control. They're quiet, efficient, and tough with a lifetime warranty on molded housings. Swing by your local Napa and get your Portacool Apex Cooler and stay comfortable while you work this summer.
Fracking, production, completion. We believe in a future where energy production goes hand in hand with environmental stewardship and innovation. Join us at the forefront of the oil and gas industry. Ensure your wells are not just productive, but also sustainable. WellWorks Energy, where energy meets innovation. Visit us at WellWorksEnergy.com or call today to learn more about our services and how we can support your operations. WellWorks Energy.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here's your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. Dozers 95, heat index at 95, humidity's 30, dew point's 59. Winds are not quite as high as it was yesterday, but 9 to 14 miles an hour, wind gusts up to 19, 1.22 inches of rain in the month of July so far, 8-inch soil temperature, 87 degrees. Well, we have contact with Mr. Brandon Hickey. Sometimes it's going to be good, sometimes it's going to be bad. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, now you're loud and clear. I can hear you.
Yeah.
Cool. How's the trip?
We are on the road headed home. I was letting Aaron drive. Going to catch me a little nap, so maybe I could do the rest of the big stint home here after a while after lunch. So.
I got you. Well, one question for you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I got a bunch of questions, but this is the main one. First one is, so, as you know, I had Emma on the show with me Friday. It was OSU Day in Norman. So,
right.
But where does she get her she's not shy from? Your wife or you?
I would definitely be from the Hickey side for sure.
She's not scared. So.
No, she's not scared. No, and we harassed her a little bit about being a little bit ornery to her co-guest that was on there with her about the marketing question or the what's changed the most question, and then also giving him a hard time about visualizing his answer when he was nodding at you when you'd ask him a question. So.
It made my day, though. It made the show go way quicker. So it was good. Hey, you want to hear a good cow joke?
Okay, go ahead.
So there was these three cows standing in a lot. One of them was a Angus, one of them was a Simmental, and one of them was a Charolais.
Uh-oh.
This UFO hovered down over the top of the lot, and the Angus cow looked up, got scared, and jumped the fence and ran off. And then the Simmental cow looked up and got scared and went under the fence and ran off. Well, the Charolais looked up with its one good eye and prolapsed.
Oh, dear.
You think Scott's listening?
I'm sure he's having a few mumbling choice words under his breath right about now.
Looks like you had as soon as I find it, I had it up till I had to tell that joke. Where'd it go? There it is. Elk City had a pretty decent run over there. What was it? 1,535 head, which is really good for this time of the year.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, good run. Lots of good groups of calves. A few less cows than what we've been running, but the cow market was good, and the calf market was good. And I wasn't near as nervous wreck about not being there as I thought I might be. I got along all right, and sounds like they got along just fine without me for the most part. So I had lots of people watching out for me. So it sounded like it went good. And be the first Friday that I'd missed since May of 2009. So.
Whoa. Yeah, it's sure. It felt good that you was up there, though, didn't it, with the – boy, while they were shooting, you guys had a good time up there. I hear everybody had a good time up there.
Yeah, you had a good time and had a good shoot. Oklahoma Dusters are bringing a lot of hardware back to Oklahoma with them today. So it's they had a good time, good bunch of kids, good bunch of parents, good shoots, and Oklahoma was well represented. And there's a lot of medals and trophies and plaques on their way back to Oklahoma today. So.
That's awesome. Was that was it hot up there?
Oh my gosh, it was so hot and humid. Oh my, and I didn't know this, so I learned something new while I was up there. That area where we're at, it's corn and soybeans. I mean, it's little patch of trees and then huge patch of corn, little patch of trees, huge patch of soybeans, you know, just not, that's all it is as far as the eye can see, except for the solar panels. They are putting up some huge, they're taking up a lot of really good good corn soybean ground with solar panels. But anyway, apparently I learned that the humidity is so high there because the corn is growing so fast and pulling the moisture up out of the ground so fast and is actually literally sweating and causing all that humidity that they have up there. I did not know that.
Well, they, you know, when they show those infrared radars on the weather, you know, like the Amazon forest puts out all the time, during corn growing season up there in Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, Missouri, Nebraska, it shows up on the map during the summer. I mean, Yeah, because when I lived in Kansas City for 19 years, and there's a lot of corn and soybeans around there. They're not huge fields, but there's a lot of them. And like you said, you got all these trees in between them and stuff. It'd be 89 degrees and humidity be 100, whatever. The humidity would be just unreal. And I'd rather be down here in Oklahoma in 110 degrees weather than up there in 89 just because that humidity just kills you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. There was a lot of people, a lot of Oklahoma people doing a lot of sweating, I can tell you that.
So is this called the Sparta Weight Loss Program?
Yeah. I don't know if I lost any weight or not, but I darn sure lost a lot of water.
I mean, the market's just good. And, of course, the board's been up yesterday and today. At Elk City, the bred cows were all selling. Pairs were selling really good. And slaughter, I mean, it's just nothing really just stood out from what I seen on here between the girls and the boys at Elk City. It's just good. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, good across the board. No real stick out things that you thought, you know, man, that was abnormally high, and you know, and nothing sticking out that thinking that was a little cheaper than what we expected. You know, it was just a good day across the board, and good cattle and everything. We was pretty shorthanded, but we had, like I say, had some people show up, kind of help out a little bit, so some family step in and help out a little bit that aren't always there, but knew I wasn't going to be there, so kind of stepped in and helped out, and it turned out to be a good day.
Yeah, you guys were up there. Emma and I was in Norman, and they're real shorthanded. I hear that Mrs. Boyette actually got up and did some auctioneering. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I didn't hear that. I hope somebody got a recording.
Yeah. Hey, better her than the cranky old lady. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got anything on the books to come in this weekend at Elk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of really good calves lined up to come again. Going to have a really good calf run. Got quite a few old bred cows. Don't have any pairs that I know of right now, young or old, but I do have a lot of old bred cows coming in. Some people wanting some short-term cows. We're sure going to have a good run at them. And another really good run of calves, several good wing calves as well. So we should be pretty similar to the run that we had this last week. We'll be pretty dadgum similar on numbers of the cows and calves and wing cattle. It ought to be pretty similar.
Okay. Well, I hear they're running a lunch special. Cousin Kay is in the Cranky Old Ladies Cafe. And let me rephrase that, cranky old lady, not ladies. Old lady, I better get that straight now. It's called Welcome Home Brandon Hamburger Special.
Ah, can't wait.
I don't know that I'd eat it if it's you, but everybody else can have one with what's going on. Let's go down I-40 to Western Oklahoma. Typical sale for there for this time of the year on, where'd it go? There it is. 687 head were sold yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not the same thing.
What to me? I mean, what about them 6 to 7 weight yearling heifers? I mean, that is a pretty phenomenal jump.
Oh, I just seen those
from 1 week to the next. I mean, just unbelievable what those 6 and 7 weight feedlot ready heifers really took a big jump. From 1 week to the next, and really, really closed the gap. We've been operating off of pretty good spread steers and heifers for a while, And, boy, they closed it in a hurry there last week. And part of that was due to the quality. That the heifer quality we had was absolutely outstanding. Now, it wasn't any of it. Got bought to go back home to make cows out of, unfortunately, but the heifer quality was really, really good, and it really showed up in the prices. They closed the gap between them and the steers in a big, big way this week, and like I say, partly due to the quality, but you know, again, those cattle that are ready to go right to the yard are in high, high demand.
Yeah, I just did the math on that. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bring my 200 or 300 I got laying around the pasture in next week, kind of collecting some of that. I wish I did have some.
Then I think, if I remember right, I did the math on them 740-something weight heifers, and there's $2,474 and change a head.
Yeah, that's what I just got.
And that's just, you know, man, that's unbelievable. But you know, on the flip side of that, gosh, that's a big price to start off with on a heifer to turn out with bulls too. I mean, that's a really high initial investment cost. That's gonna continue to deter a lot of people thinking that they're gonna have to give that much to get started with a set of heifers, that it's gonna be at least a year before you get any kind of a possibility of a paycheck back out of, actually, you know, more like a year and a half before you get your first payment back on that deal. So that's going to kind of continue to be a deterrent if we keep seeing those kind of prices on those front end heifers.
Well, there was a lot. Of course, there was a lot of talk up in Oklahoma City Friday and Saturday with the little guys all the way to the big guys. They're talking and listening to the guest speakers and stuff, and of course, I let you know what Dr. Peel had said, and, you know, of course, there's that fine line of what he said was, as long as the demand was there, and which is all true. So I wanted to discuss something with you as a stalker, from a stalker's point of view. So, you know, we heard what Dr. Peel, right now, the cow-calf guy, he's doing good as long as he doesn't do nothing crazy, and everything's going well. But before I get to the stalker guy, I noticed somebody said something up there Friday during the day that caught my attention. You and I have talked about, you know, you're looking at 2 years before you get a calf out of this heifer and blah, blah, blah. Well, I didn't think about it the way he said it. He said, so you got a baby calf, it's a heifer. You raise him, you breed her at 15 months. I'm going through the timeline cycle. So you breed her at 15 months, 16, 17 months. So you're looking at 24, 25, 26 months before she has that calf. But you're looking almost in that whole cycle, he said, you're looking at it's almost 4.5 to 5 years before that heifer's calf gets to the processor.
Yeah,
it's a 5-year vicious cycle for one calf.
Yes.
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah,
I mean, I know it happens, but I just never paid no attention to it.
Right. But, yes, sir.
So now you're looking at it now, especially still, nobody's keeping heifers right now. I mean, no, not nobody, but there's nothing major going on. So I got this. I'm not going to say names. I got this response from a stalker. And what he said, you know, Dr. Peel pretty well told us what we already know. And he's, you know, but he's not really calling the top signal. The signals are starting to show up to the cattle herds expanding. So it's probably like there's one broker guy I talked to there, he said something really smart. He said, what pushes the futures market is the fund money. It's not the cattle people's money. And
right.
They're very smart. And so we may start getting hints of the cow herd expanding. They have all this money made, and they will head for the exits, and they will, you know, force it back down, because that's what happened the last time. And how lots of stuff are still, even if we're still short on cattle, they're going to make it go down because they want to make money. So, yep. You know, we don't want to see a crash. And he said something, I talked to him yesterday, and he said something I noticed over the weekend. For some reason, these big city TV stations and the major networks, overall national, all of a sudden over the weekend, they're starting to talk about cattle shortages and prices going ape crazy and stuff. And I'm with him on this deal. I don't like seeing them sticking their nose into the business, because they're gonna scare either the investors, or they're gonna scare some people, the consumer, like, oh, right. I'm gonna switch to chicken now.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. All good and valid points. I mean, you're talking about the funds. They are very smart people, but also, as we've talked before, they're also very emotionally driven people. You know, they have a tendency to go too far whichever way they go at all times, because you know, they're either panicking and driving it down too far, or they're exuberant and driving it up too far. And that, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast that we're in, unfortunately, with when you got so many more contracts being played than there is cattle available. That's not necessarily a good thing, but it's the hand we've been dealt, so we kind of have to deal with it. But, you know, Dr. Peel kind of spread it out even more, you know, than what he had previously, you know, that saying good prices for the next decade, you know. So, you know, supply and demand is the main dictator of our market, of our prices on our cattle. And you know, so I think, you know, with what he said, that, you know, people should feel a lot of confidence in what this looks like going forward here for the next decade. You know, so I guess my thoughts from the little synopsis that you sent me, the little scenario that or summary that you sent me of Dr. Peel was, you know, get out there and fill your orders with confidence, but guard against the black swan event. I mean, protect yourself against the black swan, I still feel like even if we do have a pretty big down, you know, that it will come back. The supply and demand will dictate that it will come back after it hits the bottom. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna bounce and start climbing back up again. So, you know, I guess that would be my take, and, you know, my biggest advice to people is, you know, if you got pasture, if you want to be in the cattle business, whether it be cows or stock or calves or whatever, I mean, you know, the market is poised where you could make some money. It's placed where, even though these cattle have taken a lot more money to play the game, and it's still, unfortunately, we need to see these interest rates go down. But, you know, that also is adding into what it's costing to play the game. But the supply and demand looks like that, you know, this thing will continue to work and continue to make some money and continue to rock and roll along here. But, you know, just use some caution, use some common sense, and you know, kind of keep yourself from being unprotected from that black swan event, and just go on and do the business as best as you can with the numbers that we have to play with. They're less for everybody. So,
yeah, and if you haven't married yet, go ahead and find you a rich wife to help you with this. Or a rich husband, whichever, you know, with whatever you're doing, identifying with today. So we're all good with you. Just, as long as you're in the cattle business, we don't care. But that was a really good deal up there this weekend. And Emma and I didn't get to talk much about the screwworm deal because Dr. Biggs was on before her and Baylor. And I think, is it Bailey or Baylor that was on there with her?
I think it was Bailey.
That's it. And but she covered it pretty good. And man, you gotta hopefully the USDA and everybody else outside the country is doing their best to eradicate this new world screwworm possibility, because it seems like it's got a lot of concerns on most people's minds nowadays.
Yeah, I was talking with our Livestock Marketing Association Regional Executive Director. They also had their big meeting this weekend on Sunday right after OCA was finished. And first one of them I've missed in about 15 years also, but I was visiting with him a little bit there Saturday night, you know, and the concern of the continued advancement north of this deal. Well, you know, my thoughts and feelings are how is that happening? I mean, those flies aren't flying that far, so this has got to be and even the wild animals aren't traveling that far, so this has actually got to be a transportation of animals that are already infected or infested for that to be moving as far north as it is in a shorter period of time. It's got to be human movement causing that, and so, you know, that's got to be stopped. You know, that somehow or other the Mexican government has got to figure out how to stop moving those cattle that are already infested, you know, and allowing them to move farther north. But I mean, you know, the other thing, and you know, this the elephant in the room that, you know, that nobody wants to think about, and we've, God forbid, that it's what's happening, but I mean, you know, there's also the potential that this is being advanced by an enemy of the country that wants to see this get into our country and devastate our markets and cause us financial harm. So, you know, that's something, hopefully that's not what's going on, but in today's day and age, you kind of got to have it in the back of your mind that maybe this is, there could be this possibility that this is being done on purpose and not just out of pure ignorance. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, that's been in the back of my mind too. You know, what if somebody's doing this on purpose, you know, because right. that's the way the world thinks right now. Anything yep. to mess with anybody and right. could be evil. And, you know, you got a catastrophic event on the agriculture part. And, you know, that's the thing. Let's get on it, because we talked about this a million times about the security of our agriculture products, whether it's cattle, swine, corn, soybeans, alfalfa, doesn't matter. We feed our world. You know, if we're not able to feed the people, then we got a problem. Our own people. I'm talking about in the United States. I don't care about anything outside the borders. But just think of all the just major, I don't know, make a good movie, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, one thing that we've got to be extra, besides just the, you know, the watching out for what's coming, but we also need to be extra diligent in the effort of making sure that people understand that this isn't a food safety issue. I mean, this isn't going to make beef unsafe to eat. It's just going to, you know, it's actually going to be devastating to the producers that are dealing with it, but it's actually not going to affect the safety of their beef at all, and I, you know, that's something that we'll have to be careful with the emotionally operated media and whatnot, that they have a tendency to take things way too far one direction or the other as well, and so that'll be something, you know, as this thing continues to get closer, you know, to make sure we're educated enough to be talking to the people that are interested in knowing, and, you know, making them understand that, you know, this is devastating to our industry, but because of the dollars and the effort and the labor that's going to go into battling it, but it's not going to be devastating to the product, and it's not going to be in any way, shape, or form dangerous to the people that's eating the beef, and so we'll just have to be careful and very vigilant about making sure that correct message gets conveyed. You know, if this continues to advance north, you know, that we get that conveyed to the media and the consumers that, you know, this is not a food safety issue. This is strictly
economics. You
know, producer. Yeah, it's a producer issue that they're gonna that we have to battle with and deal with and hopefully get it defeated. But it's not going to make the beef that's on the shelves or at the restaurants or anything else unsafe to eat in any way. So
yeah, we're not going to have a New World Screwworm special at Old Cranky Old Ladies Cafe. Hey, this chicken fried steak here might have had one in it, but we're not sure. That's why we're discounting today. No, it's not, but it's just, you know, just people are not going to want to deal with it on producing side, you know, because we're going to have to go out there every time a calf's born and ensure that the screw worm don't get in that navel of the calf, or a bull's wounded himself, or this, you know. And it doesn't only deal with cattle, it's all of them, it's everybody.
Right. And right. So, yeah, but any living organism that gets a wound that allows them to get started. It's not just a cattle deal, it's just that there's the numbers of cattle, you know, are higher than about any of the other things. And so that, you know, therefore it's just, it takes it on the chin the worst. So.
Yep. Well, Brandon, you guys be careful. And I guess I'll probably see you sometime Friday.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. Good luck. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a Stockman's Vet break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Your farm deserves only the best, and that's why Valley Genuine Parts are crafted to meet the highest standards to elevate your pivot's performance. Covering all your pivot needs, Valley Genuine Parts provide optimal operation and extend the life of your pivots. From drivetrain components to sprinkler parts, invest in the best for your farm. Valley is your partner in irrigation success. Stop by Knutson Irrigation or call 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey farmers, it's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
Big names, big value, big impact. It's the 580 Cattle Conference happening Saturday, August 2nd in Woodward, Oklahoma. Learn from speakers like Temple Grandin, Corbett Wall, and Kent Backus. Admissions include expert sessions, hot topics like international trade, reproduction, the screw worm, and more. Enjoy networking, a steak dinner, trade show, and live music. General admissions is just $35, or bring the whole crew with a reserved table of six for $200. Get your tickets now at 580cattleconference.ticketspice.com.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay. It wraps it up. It's better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because there's nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, July 28th. 687 head were sold. 2 head of steers at 357 brought 480. 4 at 510 brought 415. 4 at 608 brought 368. 64 at 880 brought 319. 59 at 976 brought 300. 3 head of heifers at 295 brought 445. 5 at 538 brought 26250. 5 at 557 brought 340. 6 at 648 brought 314. 15 at 662 brought 342. 4 at 759 brought 326. Butcher cows were 122 to 185. Butcher bulls brought 169 to 199. Bred cows were 2,000 to 2,275. Pairs were 2,800 to 3,250. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's do a quick weather update here in the market report and take another break, and we'll come back with Hay Day Tuesdays. So you got time to get your pen and pencil ready to write down these numbers on hay for sale. 97 at the May Ranch, 98 is what it feels like, 62 dew point, humidity's 31, the winds are out of southwest at 11 with gusts up to 18, 92 is a 4-inch bare soil temperature with for the 3-day average, 847 sunset, 102 and hot today, 73 tonight, and 100 tomorrow. It's going to be hot, All right, let's check, make a quick run on the grains. The board, it looks like September corn's 389 down 4.5. Soybeans for August 981 down 7.5. Soybean meal August 261.50 down $3.40. Soybean oils up to 57.19 for August. Hard red winter wheat September 518 down 7.25. So is December at 539 down 7.25. Oil out of West Texas is down, up 123 to 67.94 for September. Natural gas looking pretty good at 307 for August. The NASDAQ is in the green. The Dow and S&P are slightly in the red. Cattle look just awesome. We need to find a happy medium. I just get a feeling we need to find a spot somewhere and just be cool for a while. August lives 229, 25 up 137. October 226.07 up 130. Feeders for August 336 even up 247. September 336.85 up 230. Lean hogs for August 107.35 down 115. All right, let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. We'll be right back for Hay Day Tuesdays brought to you by the Great Plains Bank.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service. 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Need precision parts done right and fast? At K4T in Elk City, we specialize in CNC machining, welding, and fabrication for the oil field as well as ag industries. We're a full-service job shop built on grit, speed, and craftsmanship. Whether it's a one-off prototype or full production, we get it done right every time. Family-owned and third-generation strong, Jason and Jamie Cost treat your job like it's their own. Stop by K4T on Merritt Road in Elk City or find us on Facebook. K4T, built on family, driven by craftsmanship.
This season, Army Worm, better watch out. Because your wheat is protected by Lumavia CPL insecticide seed treatment with a unique mode of action that starts at the seed, then moves through the plant to protect it from roots to shoots, for strong stand establishment and better yield potential. Army Worms, you're out of here. Learn more at corteva.us/lumavia CPL.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. 95 degrees at Medicine Park. Feels like 97. Heat risk is low. Dew point 64. Humidity's 36. The winds are out of the south at 10. 93 is the 3-day average. 4-inch bare soil temperature. Sunset at 8:40. 100 degrees today. 75 tonight. And 100 tomorrow. Gonna be hot, folks. Drink plenty of water, as your mom would say. All right. Got your pen and pencil ready. Let's go over some hay day. Some hay. Let's go over it. Some premium Midland 99 horse hay and cattle hay. $10 a bale for some small squares. Big rounds are from $80 to $100. This is south of Sayre, about 10 miles down there close to Willow, am I guessing? 580-574-5375, 580-574-5375, or there's another number, 580-339-2130, 580-339-2130. Also got some Midland 99 Hybrid Bermuda for sale. The last year's hay, 2024, $80 a bale. This year's $100 a bale, 580-471-8669, down by Mangum. Some Midland 99 round bales of hay, got last year's and this year's for sale, 580-471-8669. Got 180 bales of Ozarka Bermuda grass, fertilized, 3 wraps. 580-541-4332. 580-541-4332. And that's around Fairview. Okay, let's check out some Plains Blue Stem. Round bales, Ken Hall. 580-878-1157. 580-878-1150 for some round bales of Plains Blue Stem grass. We got some Beardless Wheat Hay, 1,200-pound bales, $80 a bale, south of Elk City, 405-694-8313. Got some alfalfa, $170 a ton, really good cow hay. And got 120 big round bales of rye hay. Let's see here. Sorry, I said that wrong. $120 a ton for round bales of rye and $170 a ton for some really good round bales of alfalfa. Good cow hay. And last year's sorghum pea mix, $120 a ton, 580-393-1233. What else we got? It's got some Truticale hay south of Sayre, $75 to $85 a bale. 580-243-8676. Triticale hay, $75 to $85 a round bale. 580-243-8673. And I think that's it for this week. There you have it. Okay. Guess we'll see you guys tomorrow. And drink plenty of water. And there's a, we'll be talking tomorrow. We're going to be talking about some of the stuff happening in Washington on one subject, the reorganization of the USDA. And the voices are starting to come out since they didn't know nothing about it. We're going to be talking about backyard beekeepers. Texas A&M's got an article out. They're traveling the state of Texas, talking to and helping people who want to start beehives. It's pretty interesting. And not much going on with the hay market. It's pretty stagnant, but get stocked up. It's going to be a wet winter. You never know. All right, see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre, Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.